Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back to the House of Mystery on KFNX Phoenix, 1100 AM Independent Talk Radio. I'm your host today, Al Warren. Now, quite often we're talking about injustice, and quite often with true crime and people that have been wrongly accused and put away, and how long it takes for people to get out and sentences to be turned. We're talking about that again, but in a much bigger format here. And of course, we're talking about the Rear Admiral Husband Kimmel. And joining us is his grandson, Thomas Kimmel. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Al. It's always nice to talk to somebody on the other West Coast.
Yeah, the wet one, the cold one. This is quite a story, and I'll tell you what. I didn't realize how it had gone through all these different hearings and how it ended up and what's going on, really, until I came across the book A Matter of Honor by Anthony Summers and Robin Swan. And I caught the documentary on HBO, The Last Half, and I was like, wow. You know, I've always heard rumors about Pearl Harbor and, of course, FDR and the coding, and we've had Bob Stinnett on before. So I was really surprised, and I couldn't believe that you guys were still going through this.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Al. But since you mentioned this book, A Matter of Honor, let me start with that. We're not just talking about another Pearl Harbor book. We are talking about the best book ever written about Pearl Harbor and Admiral Kimmel. And I think I'm in a pretty good position to make a judgment to that effect because I've read virtually all of them. This book has only been out since November 15th of this year, of last year, I beg your pardon, which just coincides nicely with my 73rd birthday, thank you very much. I can't recommend this book more highly. I was extensively interviewed for this book, as I was for another Pearl Harbor book by another author, and remarkably, Summers and Swan paid attention to information that I had. And indeed, in my personal files, they copied, and there's no exaggeration here at all, Al, they copied some 10,000 pages of my personal files. Now, they went on and did much more investigative research work. It's really a remarkable achievement in investigation and research. And I say that as a 25-year FBI veteran of investigations. They had just done an amazing job. And it contrasts dramatically with another author that had full access to my files and really made no good use of them at all. It's really a shame. So that's enough about the book. Again, I can't recommend it more highly. But in order to get some perspective on this Pearl Harbor matter and how long this thing has been an issue for the country, for the Navy, for my grandfather, Admiral Kimmel, and most definitely for Admiral Kimmel's two surviving sons, both now deceased, my dad and my uncle, and now for me and my cousin. I'll start with the real story within the Pearl Harbor story, because this is really sets the tone for the whole thing. And here's how it went. 9 days after the Pearl Harbor attack, the President of the United States, Franklin Roosevelt, selected a sitting Supreme Court Associate Justice to investigate the Pearl Harbor attack, that is, the Army and the Navy only, and then only in Hawaii. 10 days after the Pearl Harbor attack, Admiral Kimmel, the commander of the Pacific Fleet at Pearl Harbor during the attack, and the head of the Army Hawaiian Command, Lieutenant General Walter Short, were fired and replaced. 11 days after the Pearl Harbor attack, Justice Roberts began his deliberations. His commission deliberated for a grand total of 36 days, a grand total of investigating for 36 days. 47 days after the attack, they wrote a report, sent it to the President of the United States 47 days after the attack, declaring Kimmel and Short solely responsible for the success of the Japanese attack and derelict in their duty. The President read the report, loved it, signed it, unredacted, gave it to the press. That would have been the end of the Pearl Harbor story. Soup to nuts. But for probably one man, and that man was Captain Lawrence Safford. Lawrence Safford was the head of OP-20G, which is Naval Communications Intelligence. Indeed, he was the revered father of Naval Communications Intelligence. A couple of years after the Roberts Commission, Captain Safford went to visit my grandfather, living in disgrace, in Bronxville, New York. Captain Safford, unannounced, went into my grandfather's office to ask him some questions that Safford had about the Pearl Harbor attack. And the questions went thus. Captain Safford looked at Admiral Kimmel and said, "Admiral, did you have available to you in Hawaii prior to the Pearl Harbor attack the same information we had in the Office of Naval Intelligence in Washington, D.C. prior to the attack from a secret program decoding Japanese diplomatic and spy communications that we called MAGIC. Code name for it was MAGIC. And prior to the Pearl Harbor attack, Admiral, it gave us indications of the time, place, reason, and deceit plan to cover the Pearl Harbor attack. Did you have that information available to you in Hawaii?" Well, Admiral Kimmel looked at Captain Safford and said, "Captain, what in the world are you talking about? What is MAGIC?" Captain Safford explained that very day, February 21st, 1944, my grandfather went from a beaten, despondent man, he turned into a fighting tiger. He got himself representation out of Boston. The junior attorney on that legal team, Ed Hanafy, took Captain Safford's information and actually wrote the enabling legislation that Hanafy took to the Naval Affairs Committee. The Naval Affairs Committee was so impressed with what they read, they took the matter to the full Congress. And the full Congress ordered, by law, the Army and the Navy to conduct further investigations of the Pearl Harbor attack, or there would have been no further investigation of the Pearl Harbor attack 47 days after the attack. So of the 9 official investigations of the Pearl Harbor attack, the last 7 were all caused directly to occur by Admiral Kimmel using Safford's information, or the last one in 1995 by Admiral Kimmel's 2 surviving sons, my dad and my uncle. And here's the way it went. When you're talking about the Pearl Harbor investigations and trying to get your arms wrapped around this Pearl Harbor story, really all you need to know is the first investigation. The first investigation took place a week after the Pearl Harbor attack. The Secretary of the Navy, Frank Knox, went out to Hawaii 3 days after the attack and brought back a report a week and a half after the attack to President Roosevelt. And here's what Secretary of the Navy Frank Knox's report to Franklin Roosevelt said. It said, in essence, that Kimmel and Short in Hawaii were not alerted, and that the fighter planes that Kimmel and Short needed had been sent to Britain, the Dutch, the Chinese, and the Russians. The next day, however, Secretary Knox was told to tell the press merely that Hawaii was not alert, not that it had not been alerted, that it was not alert. Of course, this allowed the press to take it up a notch and report that Hawaii was asleep. Not that they had not been alerted, but they were asleep. Knox, Secretary of the Navy Frank Knox's deep sixth report was known to the Roberts Commission, but was not revealed to Kimmel and Short. The second investigation, the one that I had referred to earlier, the Roberts Commission, which started 11 days after the Pearl Harbor attack, December 18, 1941. Here is the dark heart of that Roberts Commission matter. The Washington High Command falsely, Al, testified to the Roberts Commission that Kimmel and Short had the same magic information in Hawaii as they had in Washington, D.C. This false information was calculated to do and did Kimmel and Short irreparable prejudice. The Washington High Command had an obligation as officers and decent human beings to rectify the prejudice to Kimmel and Short from such deplorable misinformation. They did not do so. The third investigation. Now we have investigations that prompted by Admiral Kimmel. This is the third investigation. Now we're in 1944. This is the Hart investigation. Captain Safford revealed magic to Admiral Hart. The fourth investigation. Admiral Kimmel revealed magic to the Army Pearl Harbor Board after the head of the Army, George Marshall, had committed perjury on multiple occasions before the Army Pearl Harbor Board and had successfully ordered his subordinates to do the same, and they did. The Army Pearl Harbor Board eventually figured this out, which is why General Marshall was so severely criticized by the Army Pearl Harbor Board. The fifth investigation, again now we're in 1944, this is one that's ordered by Congress through the efforts of Admiral Kimmel, the Naval Court of Inquiry, the only one of the 9 official investigations which incidentally accorded Admiral Kimmel the opportunity to defend himself, and by defend himself I mean accorded Admiral Kimmel the opportunity to call and to cross-examine witnesses. In none of the other investigations was he allowed to do that. Accordingly, the Naval Court of Inquiry virtually exonerated Admiral Kimmel and criticized his only uniformed boss in the Navy, the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Stark. The Naval Court of Inquiry, since it was the only one that accorded Admiral Kimmel the opportunity to defend himself, we should note the findings of the Naval Court of Inquiry. Number one, the Naval Court of Inquiry found that there was not a scintilla of evidence to support a charge of dereliction of duty against Admiral Kimmel. Number two, they found that Admiral Kimmel committed no errors of judgment. Let me say that again. No errors of judgment based upon the information that he was given. The third finding was to approve all of Admiral Kimmel's force dispositions, again, on the basis of information that he was given. And, of course, their last finding was to criticize Admiral Kimmel's only uniformed boss, the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Stark, for not keeping Admiral Kimmel appropriately and adequately informed as to what was going on, as he had promised Admiral Kimmel he would do on multiple occasions in writing. Now, as a matter of fact, the head of the Naval Court of Inquiry, Admiral Murfin, the president of the court, he opined that the court, a three-man court, they opined that they thought Admiral Kimmel had done everything possible under the political circumstances of that time. The 6th, 7th, and 8th investigations, the Clark, Clausen, and Hewitt investigations, merely tinkered at the margins. The big investigation, the Joint Congressional Committee, found no dereliction of duty. That ended the investigations in Admiral Kimmel's lifetime. Interestingly enough, in 1991, the Army Board for Correction of Military Records was petitioned by General Short's surviving son, Colonel Short, West Point graduate. General Short deceased in 1949. In 1991, his son, Colonel Short, went to the Army Board for Correction of Military Records and sought posthumous relief for his deceased father, advancement on the retirement list from two stars to three stars, from Major General to Lieutenant General, as he was at the time of Pearl Harbor. Interestingly enough, the Army Board for Correction of Military Records found injustice, which is what the Army Board for Correction of Military Records is supposed to do. They are assigned by Congress, by law, to find injustice or error in Army records and correct it where they can. And in this opportunity, they could. And they recommended that the relief be granted that Colonel Short was requesting for his dad, and that was advancement. However, the Army Board for Correction of Military Records recommendation, favorable recommendation, was overturned by higher authority in the Army without an alternative finding of facts. Just like that. We're going to say no, and that's the end of that. In 1995, there was a 10th investigation that was prompted by Admiral Kimmel's two surviving sons. It was the Dorn investigation, prompted by Senator Thurmond of South Carolina. And the Dorn report was interesting in that, for the first time, and that would be in 54 years, the Dorn report recognized that responsibility for success of the Japanese attack should be broadly shared. But Al, it has not been. Clearly it has not been. Indeed, it is unconscionable to continue to punish Kimmel and Short once this concept has been accepted. Advancing Kimmel and Short does not diminish their command accountability and responsibility any more than ignoring the command accountability and responsibility of Kimmel and Short's superiors diminishes theirs. Now, here's a question for you. That's the predication. We've been through all the investigations. Let me ask you this question, which most people really have no idea of the answer. but I think it's very important for your listeners to understand this, because we are continuously rebuffed in our request for advancement of Kimmel and Short by the abstraction that the commander is responsible, period. End of the story. The commander is responsible. No one on the Kimmel side denies that the commander is fully responsible. But the truth is, Al, that the advancement issue has nothing to do with assigning responsibility and everything to do with bureaucratic malice and abuse of authority. Consider this question. Why is Admiral Kimmel the only qualified flag officer, meaning Admiral, the only qualified flag officer not advanced under the Officer Personnel Act of 1947? The Officer Personnel Act of 1947 was a benefit given to all Navy flag officers at the 3- and 4-star level, allowing all of them to retire at their highest held temporary ranks. A little word on temporary and permanent rank. A temporary rank is a rank you get with the job, like Commander of the Pacific Fleet. When you have that job, you temporarily have 4 stars. When you leave that job, for whatever reason, you go back to your permanent rank. In Admiral Kimmel's case, it was 2 stars. Well, this applied to many admirals in World War II. So in order to correct that, in order to do a nice thing for all of these admirals that served in World War II, they passed the Officer Personnel Act in 1947. Providing that everybody was allowed to retire at their highest held temporary rank, with one exception. Dare I ask you what it is, Al? Correct. It's Admiral Kimmel.
Yeah.
Okay, I've asked you the question. Why is Admiral Kimmel the only qualified flag officer not advanced under the Officer Personnel Act of 1947? Here's the answer. In 1948, the Navy Department merely omitted the name of Admiral Kimmel from the list of flag officers whose promotion was authorized. That would be everyone else, without any reference to his or anyone's performance, Al. This constituted clearly a belated special disciplinary action of a punitive kind taken without notice to the officer specifically singled out by such admission, Admiral Kimmel. All right. Now I want to use you as the foil here. I want to try and drive this point home because it's terribly important.
Yeah.
Again, it has nothing to do with performance. It has nothing to do with command accountability or responsibility. This is the only thing that we are seeking. Relief under this outrage performed by the Navy Department manipulating the Officer Personnel Act of 1947. So let me try this hypothetical on. This is a hypothetical analogy. Here we go. My hypothetical here.
Okay.
Congress passes a law allowing special good guy awards, I'll call them SGGAs, to all radio hosts countrywide. The Navy Department, or in this case, the Federal Communications Commission, merely omits the name of Al Warren from the list of radio hosts countrywide whose SGGA award is authorized. That would be everyone else, including, I might say, several radio hosts that are not well-known as bad guys, or I should say that are well-known as bad guys, or at least not good guys, without any reference to his or anyone's performance, constituting a belated special disciplinary action of a punitive kind taken without notice to the radio host specifically singled out by such admission, Al Warren. In other words, if we can't get Warren by hook, then we're going to get him by crook. Please note, Al, that in neither the Kimmel case nor the hypothetical Warren case, is there anything said about performance, let alone command responsibility.
So with all of this time going by and nothing being done, what's the general response that you get? I know that you've sent the letters, and we have them, and to the current president, and it's this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This has been going on for a few presidents, and Senator Biden, who's been really a chief sponsor of a bill back when he was just, you know, Senator Biden before the vice presidency, and he recommended the advancement of Admiral Kimmel. What's happened? Why haven't they moved forward then? I mean, he's now the vice president. He seems to be in a good position, and he certainly seems to get along well with the actual president right now. So what's happened?
Well, that's, of course, a great question, and I can answer that question. As I indicated earlier, what they generally use as an excuse not to advance Kimmel and Short is this idea of they're in command, end of the story.
Well, so it's more of a, it's almost like a punishment. It's almost like saying, well, you were in charge, everything didn't go well, so you're the blame. And bottom line, you're paying for it type thing. And we're not going to reward you by advancing you the 2 stars because what you did was wrong. It's kind of, in a way, it's like looking back and punishing someone. And I'm sort of thinking that's what you're trying to say.
Well, I'm trying to be
polite.
I go with an analysis of the meaning of responsibility. And the Navy Department likes to use their idea of responsibility as an abstraction. It's the Navy Department's last refuge for denying Kimmel advancement. They do that, and they're able to persistently refuse to find out the truth by applying an abstract concept of command and responsibility to avoid any further analysis. And, of course, this abstraction, in fact, conceals faults and destroys responsibility. And I take my cue from none other than Alexander Hamilton in the Federalist Papers centuries ago. The gist of what he said there was that the executive tends to conceal faults and destroy responsibility. Amen. It often becomes impossible amidst mutual accusations to determine on whom the blame or the punishment ought really to fall. And he questions, he says, who is there that will either take the trouble or incur the odium of a strict scrutiny into the secret springs of the transaction? If there happened to be collusion between the parties concerned, how easy it is to cloak the circumstances with so much ambiguity as to render it uncertain what was the precise conduct of any of these parties. So, if the Navy Department is allowed to say, you're responsible and that's the end of the story, it makes it difficult. unless I can counter with the thought that command responsibility has nothing to do with what we are seeking by way of relief. We are merely seeking advancement posthumously under the Office of Personnel Act of 1947. And I think I have demonstrated completely that the people who advanced under the Office of Personnel Act had nothing to do with their performance or the command responsibility. But maybe I should drive the point home even further. Consider this. I should definitely mention that the Army treated General Short in the same underhanded way that the Navy treated Admiral Kimmel. Consider this. Major General Henry Miller, Major General, 7 weeks before D-Day, Major General Henry Miller, a member of General Spatz's Army Air Corps staff, got drunk at a nightclub in London, the famous Claridge's, and proceeded to take bets that the D-Day invasion would occur before June 15, 1944. When General Spatz found out about this outrage, he immediately placed Major General Miller under house arrest. When Eisenhower found out about it, after he unscrewed himself from the ceiling, because we are talking at one of the most closely guarded secrets of the Allies at that time, he demoted Major General Henry Miller to Colonel, that's 06, and returned him to the United States. All right, D-Day, incidentally, D-Day is June 6, 1944. Need I mention that under the Office of Personnel Act of 1947, Colonel Henry Miller was allowed to retire at his highest held temporary rank of Major General. Now, he's not the only one here, not the only example of promoted unworthiness. We can include in that list Major General John Lucas at Anzio, who was relieved of his commands for gross inefficiency, as well as Major General Lloyd Friedenhall at Kazarine Pass.
I get that some people will assume that, or will say that, okay, so Kimmel was in charge, you know, and therefore it's a matter of fault to that. But the essence of this is that it has nothing to do with how he retires, like the ranking you're saying. So I'm trying to to figure out who's putting a stop to this.
Well, it's dying in the Navy Department. That seems to be the genesis of it. A reason given was given by Commander Roger Scott of the Judge Advocate General's Corps in 1998. This is important because in 1995, Roger Scott was the general counsel for the Dorn Committee. In a military law review in 1998, Roger Scott takes on the issue of why we're not advancing Kimmel. And he says, and I quote now, "Even admitting for the sake of argument all of the facts alleged in the Kimmel case," by Tom Kimmel, I'll put that in there, "the more important consideration is unapologetically protection of the established scope of presidential power itself." Try arguing that one, Al. So we're not going to advance Kimmel because if we advance Kimmel, somehow we're going to undermine the scope of presidential power. Well, okay. Here's another reason. Chief of Naval Operations James Holloway. In 2003, he happened to be in the audience at a national press conference held by my uncle, a professor at the University of Florida, Michael Gannon, the author of Pearl Harbor Betrayed, a marvelous scholar and gentleman, and myself. My cousin Manning was with us as well. We thought we were doing this up brown, but the fellow who sold the show was in the audience, Chief of Naval Operations James Holloway III, former Chief of Naval Operations. Well, keep in mind, now this is a national press club rendering from the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. Admiral Holloway got up during the question and answer period. He didn't have a question, but he wanted to make a statement. whatever he had in his hand, I can't remember what it was, but he threw it down on his chair and offered that this whole thing is totally political, he said. What we have to do is find a way that the president can make this judgment and politically benefit from it. So, Al, I think Admiral Holloway hit the nail on the head. This story that I'm telling you was written up as a feature article in Naval History magazine from the United States Naval Institute of Proceedings, which is a famous trade magazine of the Navy, in February of 2004, and the article zeroed in not on anything that my uncle or Professor Gannon had to say, but on what Admiral Holloway had to say. And we have been trying to effectively use Admiral Holloway's counsel ever since, trying to figure out a way that the president could make this judgment and politically benefit from it. And we thought, surely President Obama would be interested in benefiting from this. And indeed, President Obama actually attempted to nominate an Air Force officer under very similar circumstances. In 2010, President Obama nominated Major General John Lovell to 4 stars posthumously. This was in 2010. He did that because John Lovell, who was the head of the 6th or 7th Air Force, I can never remember which one, in Vietnam, was cashiered as a 4-star general, was cashiered out of the Air Force during a kerfuffle introduced by the New York Times, accusing General John Lovell of illegally bombing North Vietnamese surface-to-air missile sites. This dust-up resulted in the Air Force effectively firing 4-star General John Lovell and allowing him to take the heat for all of this. Well, so it was. Soon thereafter, General Lovell deceased. His son and another, researching an entirely different matter, got a hold of the Watergate tapes, and they found that President Nixon, on the Watergate tapes, had actually given authority to John Lovell to bomb these North Vietnamese surface-to-air missile sites. So, with that, armed with that information, they approached the Air Force Board for Correction of Military Records. And the Air Force Board for Correction of Military Records agreed. They found injustice and recommended that the relief be granted as sought by John Lovell's son. And they recommended that the Secretary of the Air Force grant the relief to John Lovell and recommend the posthumous promotion of John Lovell from 2 stars to 4 stars, his highest temporary rank. Well, the Secretary of the Air Force agreed. So he took it to the Secretary of Defense, and the Secretary of Defense agreed. The Secretary of Defense took it to President Obama, because that's the way these things work. The president has to nominate flag and general officers for promotion. This is the way it works routinely. And the president sends his nominated recommendations to the Senate Armed Services Committee. And the Senate Armed Services Committee gives advice and consent. And they put their imprimatur on it, and that's done. Then it has the effect of law, and the promotion is effected. Well, in this case, President Obama, October of 2010, made the nomination to the Senate Armed Services Committee, and the then head of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Levine, from Senator Levine from Michigan, and his minority counterpart, John McCain, they sat on the nomination and allowed it to expire the term of the Senate without acting on it. In other words, they temporized to the point where no action was taken. The term of the Senate expired, and now if Obama is going to get the nomination, he has to renominate, which has not happened.
Why would McCain and Levine let it expire?
You're going to have to ask them. I don't know, but I guarantee you John Lovell's son would like to know. Very few people know about this either. We were greatly encouraged. I mean, here we got the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, who started this whole ball rolling in 1999, actually. He was not a sponsor of the bill recommending that the president nominate Admiral Kimmel and General Short. He was the chief sponsor of the bill in 1999 and again in 2000. That recommendation was elevated to law by the Armed Forces Authorization Act for fiscal year 2001, which was signed by President Clinton in October of 2000. But he didn't take the action. It was merely a recommendation from the Congress that the president nominate. And, of course, that recommendation is in perpetuity. So anybody that has the office of the president, if they're going to follow the recommendation of the Congress, they need to nominate Kimmel and Short. But they haven't done that yet. Well, here we have Vice President Biden now sitting next to, presumably, the president, Obama. And we know that Obama, in 2010, acted on a quite similar situation with Major General John Lovell and actually made the nomination, but it didn't happen. So there we are. We certainly had every reason to be hopeful.
Yeah.
And we're still hopeful. I mean, there's...
Yeah.
This is the 16th. We got 4 more days, Al. We'll see.
Well, you know,
we're hanging in there until it's over.
I would think that there would be an advantage to him doing it, or any president. So I'm not sure exactly why they're not doing it. There's a lot of in the background now. Of course, you know, and I know you've been in the Navy yourself, and FBI, and around the world. And so when it comes to FDR and Pearl Harbor and the codes, the Japanese codes, MAGIC, and the Purple Code and all those things that have been figured out since then. And there's a lot of talk that, you know, FDR, it was his way of getting into the war, and he kind of knew it was happening, and there's that whole theory, and there's just a lot of this back talk like this. Do you think that there's any credible thought to this? Because maybe this is why, when someone like Biden gets into the position of vice president and stuff like that, maybe that they don't do or act on it is because they don't want to expose that.
Well, it's certainly a possibility. One of the many possible reasons why they would just as soon leave Kimmel and Short twisting slowly in the wind, so they don't have to get into the matter of the penetration of the Roosevelt administration by Soviet espionage, which, of course, we don't find out until 1995, was rampant. We strongly suspected, but the Venona confirmation is not made public till 1995. For your listeners that might not know what Venona is, Venona was a code word for the secret American decoding of Soviet spy communications prior to and during World War II, which has identified some 345, give me an allowance on the numbers, that's off the top of my head, Americans that were corrupted in government service by the Soviets. It's rather a remarkable find and a amazing counterintelligence coup on the part of the American intelligence community. Half of these 345, or whatever the exact number is, have been identified by true name. The other half still have not been identified by true name, and we've only identified them by code name. Some of the people that are identified are just remarkable. Case in point, in Pearl Harbor, which is the most remarkable of the many remarkable people who have been identified as spying for the Soviets, was Harry Dexter White. Well, it is amazing to me that with all of the current chit-chat and hullabaloo about whether the Russians have interfered with our political system,
exactly.
When I consider how much the Russians interfered with our political system in 1940, 41 and on. And of course, Harry Dexter White is the prime example.
What's your plans now as it stands? Because I know the change of administrations this week. If Obama does not act, do you have any strategic plans coming up?
Well, sure we do. We're going to try and find somebody that President-elect Trump listens to and see if we can't plead our case with him. I would like to get a copy of A Matter of Honor before President-elect Trump. Again, we're not doing anything until after the 20th.
Yeah.
We're riding with Biden until the 20th.
Yeah. You know, and on a personal note, we have to ask, because I don't think they do this enough, but how has this affected your family and over the years? And has this always been sort of a monkey on the back sitting your whole life?
Well, only since I was about 17 years old.
Yeah.
I'm 70 right now.
Yeah. I would just, you know, the thing is, I don't know how to finish it. I just think that this is something that we need to do and go forward. And you and your family have spent so much time with service to the U.S. that it's something that we all need to pay attention to and respect that. And I think that more people need to get on board. I that's the best way I can leave it, is to say that we will have the links up on our websites, as well as the petition that's up there, and also the book. And we wish you the best of luck going forward, and we're in total support. And I hope this gets done.
Well, I thank you for that effort. What are we going to do? We're going to continue to try and frame the issue. We're going to frame the issue, and we'll do it by speaking to the media when they give us an opportunity, like you've given me, and I obviously I've leaped at the opportunity. Maybe I can leave you with this one thought from the famous Fleet Admiral Nimitz, the man who took over from my grandfather as the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific. When I was at the Naval Academy, 1965, I was a senior there. We had a history course called Sea Power, and we were studying the text written by Nimitz and the famous Navy historian Potter at the time. And I'm reading away, and all of a sudden on page 650, I read this quote, which I bandy about all the time, from none other than Fleet Admiral Nimitz. He's answering the question, why was it possible? This is Congress's famous question. Why was it possible for a Pearl Harbor to occur since we had the greatest intelligence in the history of the United States, and yet still a Pearl Harbor occurred? How is that possible? And Nimitz answered the question, quote, Admiral Kimmel had been given no information which would justify interrupting a very urgent training schedule. I read that quote when I was 21 or 22 years old. It's still the best single sentence encapsulation of why Pearl Harbor occurred because of that.
Well, again, thank you very much for taking the time and being on the show. It's an honor, and, you know, thank you for your service.
Well, thank you very much for that thought. Anytime you want to discuss this further, I'm your man. I've got plenty more to say.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.